a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us here at Revelation. We've got an outstanding show for you tonight. Rick Skull is going to be joining us as usual. We've got a few visual presentations, but something dawned on me. You know, it's like the puzzle piece fit, and it made part of the picture bigger. And I'm looking at, you know, our world events and what we're seeing happen today. And it comes down to a very interesting prophecy. This is one that we've talked about before. As a matter of fact, Rascal, you questioned this specifically. The four angels at the river Euphrates. And it's interesting, the Tigris and the river Euphrates run side by side and empty out into the Persian Gulf and go right past the Strait of Hormuz and completely past Iran. And so when we look back at these four angels in Revelation, the ninth chapter, what happens immediately after this is that there's this army, myriads of angels, and they go to war, and their purpose is to kill a third of the men. And, you know, which men is that? Well, it's the men who do not have the mark of God in their forehead. Now, as it says right there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 9, it said, and boy, the rain just picked up, so it might sound like static in the background. But it says in verse 20, but the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so that they should not worship the demons and the idols of gold and silver and copper and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their spiritistic practices, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. As in the banking monetary system, their thefts of what they've done to the people of the world. But that's what we're going to actually look at tonight. And the question is, did we just enter the first judgment period? Because now we have a group of people that has been identified that a war is carried out, basically, as in Revelation 16 through 20, and it's a war against these people who are engaged in sacrificing to idols. What are they sacrificing to idols? Their children, our children. They are part of the satanic system of evil, who are demonic idolatrous worshipers. And it's right in with chapter 9, we have the angel of the pit of the abyss, the king of the pit of the abyss, who becomes the eighth king of a one world order, an eighth king in Revelation 17. He comes to light here, and he is named. He is named in Hebrew as Abaddon, but in Greek, he is called Apollyon. He is called Apollyon. And that's actually where we're going to start tonight's show. And as we get into this, well, we already started the show. But now we're going to get into this, and we're going to look at this from a very interesting subject. Number one, have we entered a time of judgment? It would certainly seem that way. And this is a divine judgment, which is being carried out. Take it to the next level. Who is carrying out this judgment? Well, this seems to be under the four angels of the that whose hands were untied, who were untied, unbound, these four entities that have command of a huge army that is actually going to carry out the will of God. And we could even go as far as saying is that Apollyon is carrying out God's will. And we get that from Revelation chapter 17:17, or Revelation QQ, is I like to call it. And in the 17th chapter, the 17th verse, it says that they do this because God puts it into their hearts to carry out his thought. Even to carry out their own one thought by giving their kingdom to the wild beast until the word of God will have been fulfilled. Huh. Alrighty then. So this is actually playing out on a very spiritual level, on a level of interdimensional beings, beings released from the pit of the abyss, extraterrestrials being cast down to earth. Boy, we live in very interesting times, because we're looking at this not just from what's happening here on earth, but from a cosmic perspective. Because after all, we are in the middle of a cosmic battle. This isn't just for planet Earth. This is for the cosmos. At least everything that we know as the cosmos. And that's what it's in. And this will never be repeated. So anyway, let's get into our first article here, what I want to actually cover first. And this is an article that was written. Actually, she wrote a book. Dr. Heather Lynn. Riscala, could you pull up that first clip, or it's not really a clip, but it's that picture and then the verbiage that goes along with it and the title of what she wrote. Are the world leaders possessed the ancient technology of demonic transfer? The ancient technology of demonic transfer. Riscala, could you read that one paragraph there? And there's the picture. Oh, beautiful. We get to see it all. We're going to examine this picture and just talk about it just a little bit. Riscala, can you read that paragraph there, the introduction paragraph?
According to the oldest surviving mythology on Earth, kings did not rule alone. Each one had a demon assigned to him. The Sumerians called them Apkallu. They were divine counselors, and they whispered in the ear of the ruler. I am a historian who studied inside UN Connected Mystery School. This is what I have spent a decade learning about what you are watching.
So there you go. Dr. Lynn spent a decade at a special UN school where they preen the next generation to come along. And so this is what she's actually learned, is that they go back to what? The ancient Sumerians. Where does this start, biblically speaking? After Noah's flood. It starts with the Tower of Babel. Actually, it starts with Nimrod, also most likely known as Gilgamesh. But the Bible doesn't say very much about him. In Genesis, it says he was a mighty hunter. in opposition to Yahuwah, to Yahweh, to God. So he was in opposite. He was opposing God, and pretty much that's it. You now have to go back and look at the historical situation that comes in, and so for about the last 20 years, we've been fed Sumerian texts, which are now people are starting to learn and actually uncover and decipher and know what they're saying. Before it was, we got an alleged story from Stitchin. You remember his first name? He was associate, another NASA associated, Zachariah Stitchin, who wrote about the Anunnaki. Oh, are these the gods that started with Sumeria? The same Sumerians who learned this ancient technology of demonic transfer? Think about that. Looking at the picture that we have here, and some people may have seen this before, but if you look in the background, there is actually a priest offering up a child into the arms of the god Molech. Molech was one of the triad. It was Baal, Ashtoreth, and Molech. And Molech was the god of live child sacrifice. They in archaeological study of the Valley of Hinnom, where one of the Molech idols was, that they uncovered over 20,000 infant bones burned, the remains of them, mostly infants, but as old as 2 years old. What can I say? They didn't have abortion back then, so they burned the children as a sacrifice to gain more power, to offer up and get closer to the god, to be blessed by that god. Now, the exact rites that went on, I couldn't tell you, and I don't know where they're recorded, but people do. And it goes all the way back to ancient Sumeria, where we get the story of the Tower of Babel. And God confused their languages, and so they took their religions, whichever one seemed to, that they liked the most, and they scattered around the world. And that's how you get basically the same structures in South America, along with cuneiform writing, as well as Mesopotamia. Go figure that one out. They took underground tunnels. I'm being facetious here, but yeah. The biblical record is accurate, and it's here where they actually, it's where the story of the gods actually starts. From here, those gods basically go to Egypt, and then from Egypt to Assyria, and then we get to go back to ancient, back to Babylon again. And so this is where all of these religious ideas, including child sacrifice, come from, which is now being taken up by the powers that are controlling this planet now. There's no dispute over this. And if you've done the research, it goes right up to the Vatican. Think about that. Go, you can find this information online. In the state of Spain, I mentioned this before, over 300,000 children were taken at birth and put off into a different adoptions. They told their mothers that the baby had died, and they disposed of the body for one reason or another, or whatever stories they sent seemed fit at the time. And this was run out of a hospital over a period of about 20, 30 years. I guess it ended in the late 60s, 70s. But they trafficked 300,000 infants out of that hospital. It was a Catholic hospital. Where'd the money go? Asked the Pope at that time, or popes. You know, it is, as they say, all roads lead to Rome. And we're dealing also with the three city states. We're dealing with Washington, D.C., we're dealing with the city of London, and we're dealing with the Vatican itself. City states dependent, not part of the countries in which they reside, a country unto themselves. The Vatican handles the religious end. The city of London handles the banking, and the United States, Washington, D.C., handles the military might. Oh, is that why it's alleged that the United States has weapons that nobody else has, advanced technology, like directed energy weapons, maybe? Ask people in California and Hawaii about that. There's some strange things that went on with those fires. And what happened in Lahaina, it didn't stay in Lahaina. So yeah, weapons that might seem a little alien, UFO-ish, but here, let's go back, Rascal, if we could put that picture back on with Molech there that we first had. That picture, I pointed out Molech, but look to the right of the picture. This was a Substack post, by the way, but when you look to the right of the picture, you can see it's Donald Trump sitting down at the desk, or somebody that looks like Donald Trump sitting down at the desk, and he's got somebody doing obeisance before his feet. Huh. This is, could possibly be more accurate than what we comprehend. Because when we look at the scriptures, it would line up. The Revelation 17, I've read this many times, where we talk about the eighth king, the beast that was but is not. Beasts are governmental agencies, kingdoms. The beast that was but is not, which ascends out of the abyss, part of the scarlet-colored wild beast with seven heads and ten horns, but it's not, it springs from that group and becomes the eighth king. The eighth king being Apollyon. Okay, Rascal, I'm going to bother you some more here. Can Donald Trump and Trump Towers put up on the 66th floor, he has his personal suite. And this is one of the pictures of the personal suite. And there's two things that I would really like to draw everyone's attention to. If you look to the far wall, there's a painting at the fireplace above two Grecian urns. That painting is Apollo or Apollyon, and he's in his chariot being led by Aurora. So Apollyon was the son of Zeus. And in the foreground here of the picture, that is actually a sculpture of the Greek god Eros, the god of love. And he wants to be betrothed to his muse, his earthly wife, or earthly woman who he fell in love with, Psyche. And so this is the sculpture of Eros and Psyche. And the story is that, and think about that, a god who fell in love with an earth woman. And he petitioned the rest of Zeus's kingdom, and they agreed that Psyche could be a goddess because their love was so strong. Is Trump Eros in this drama and Melania Psyche? Yeah, I have to ask the question. But these pictures, a series of pictures, I mean, a beautiful palace on the 66th floor. But it was the Daily Mail that actually did this back in 2016 when Trump was running for president. And they made the statement that what they had observed is that Trump basically pictures himself or is playing the role of Apollo, the son of Zeus. And so the Daily Mail was saying he thinks he's a god. Well, yeah. The king, the beast that was but is not, which ascends out of the abyss. Would that be like the Trump's first? Everybody was surprised. Oh, Trump won the presidency. Whoa, Hillary lost? What, are you kidding me? And then that kingdom was not. And we thought that Trump would wind up in the abyss of Breakers Island. And then it sprung up again. The kingdom that was but is not, which ascends out of the abyss, which is also the same thing that happens with the key opening the pit of the abyss in Revelation chapter 9. And Apollyon, coincidence, takes a kingdom as the eighth king of planet Earth. Trump, Apollyon. Now, it's interesting. We're going to digress back here to Rascola, something that you've had questions about for quite some time. If you can, just go to the painting that's over the fireplace of Apollyon so we can get a better idea. There you go. Thank you very much. Yeah, you've got Trump and his chariot following Aurora. And look at all the women around him. Goddesses. Earth women. Looks like Cupid up above the horses. And so it seems to be a bit more coincidence, especially when we consider the fact that this duality in rulers, where rulers could connect with the gods, with these spirit forces who would guide them and whisper in their ear. Yeah. Or maybe perform. Or maybe sing. I don't know. Ask Beyonce. She could tell you. But we know that there are rituals that are involved in this sort of thing. And this woman just wrote about it. Again, if you want to look up her work, it's Dr. Heather Lynn. Are world leaders possessed? Yeah. Yeah. With the things that they do to children, how could they not be possessed? Am I right, Rascola?
They can't be human.
How could they not be possessed? Yeah. It goes beyond that. We look at, whoa. And the more powerful they become, the more absolutely corrupt they become. Except possibly in the situation with who is the current president of the United States. Now, there's an unjust war, what we feel going on in Iran, but Iran is the biggest propagator of terrorism around the world. And how do you trust a country which says death to Americans and will kill their own people to protest? I heard as many as between 60 and 90,000 people have been gunned down by the IRGC. Hey, keep protesting. We got more bullets. Now, what's interesting here is what seemed to be taken out first in this whole last attack, or this current attack, which has just been put on hold, what was the first and biggest target? First call, do you remember what they first hit of any importance?
No, it's a school.
Well, everybody remembers the school, but the first thing that was taken out...
The boogeyman, their latest boogeyman, Ayatollah.
Yeah, the Ayatollah. They took out the Ayatollah. And then they took out the high-ranking mullahs, which seemed to set off a firestorm between Pope Leo and Trump. Whoa. This is funny. Why would that set off a firestorm? Trump just took out what the equivalent of the Iranian Pope and the cardinal class. He's got the Jesuits yet to go, the IRGC. Trump just set precedent. And considering he took down a religious organization that had an absolute theocracy wanting to kill anyone who would not submit to Sharia law, kill all the infidels, and let us carry on horrific acts against your people. Yeah. It's a death cult. But it was in the United States, we guarantee freedom of religion. They can worship whatever they want here, including Satanists who sacrifice children. You already do. Why are you asking the question? You're the guys that make the laws. Yeah. The corrupt of the most corrupt, who have gotten powerful and more powerful because they've aligned themselves with demonic forces that lust on that type of death and destruction. And so we, the willing, are led by a bunch of psychopathic killers. Think about that. And if they're not psychopathic killers, they've been paid to look the other way.
They're not human.
Yeah. They may be flesh and blood, but they're far from being human. And people, you know, the good thing about this, Riscala, is people are starting to wake up. That and people that I was kind of surprised that would come out and say, we are in a spiritual war. And well, I quote Ephesians 6:11 quite often. I'm hearing many other people quote it. Hello, yeah. But we need to know more so how it's being carried out here on Earth for obvious reasons. Whether we know it, we all have skin in this game, either physically or emotionally. Give it time. But we all have skin in this game. And knowing when to jump to the next space in the game is key. Comprehending what the others are doing, looking for their tells. And so how far of a stretch of the imagination would it be to take down the death cults? First, the most blatant one, it's a religion. They took out the religious hierarchy. Do you have any idea how much pedophilia has cost the Catholic Church? How much they paid out? Have you ever heard of it?
I'm guessing, but probably hundreds of millions of dollars.
I heard it was actually in the billions.
Would not surprise me.
I read that actually, and I can't tell you the article that I had read it from. It was one of those things. I was actually looking for something else, and I'm like, holy moly, is that right? But it was in the billions. I can't, but it was like 3 billion. They kick around these numbers like, you know, they're playing penny ante poker. But we're talking about billions and trillions like they were tens and twenties. Well, tens and twenties used to be. Is that where we're headed? Yeah, pretty much. I remember when stamps were 4 cents. Today, I had to buy a stamp. It was 73 cents. Wait a minute. I scratched my head. Actually, stamps were 3. I remember when they went up to 4. Everybody was talking about it. I was just a little kid. But everybody's talking about, oh, stamps are 4 cents now. Yep. But now there's 74 cents, and the post office is still running at a loss. All righty then. We're in a system that needs to be overhauled because they can't suck any, that those same psychopaths that are in charge can't suck any more out of this country. They can't suck any more out of the people. And so they need to be taken down. And obviously, considering the scriptures and where what we're seeing here play out, we have entered the first of the judgment periods. The judgment of these men or these people who sacrifice to demons and worship idols made of gold, silver, copper, and stone or wood. These are the ones that have been in charge of this planet for literally thousands of years. And now the game is going to change. The fact that we have what is going on right now with this taking down of the religious head of Iran also fits into what the Eighth King is commissioned to go do, and that's destroy Babylon the Great, all of compromised false religion, which would include the first city-state, the Vatican. Riscal, could you imagine what would happen when, or what would it take to bring the Vatican down? You know, Trump couldn't go lobbing missiles into Vatican City, could he? I mean, I guess he could.
When somebody begins to think that they're of this caliber, you know, if he thinks that he's chosen by God, it's...
Yeah, well,
I think that the only way you could take over the Vatican would be by ground force, and it would have to be quite a big force.
Yeah. Trafficked children. That would take down the Vatican, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if you could stop the feeding of the beast, absolutely.
Yeah, and so... What do you have to do to take down a banking system? Well, let's back up. You have the three city states, right? You've got Washington, D.C., the military arm. You got the city of London, the financial arm. And you've got the Vatican, the mother of all corporations, and the religious arm. But Washington, D.C. fell. That's the first thing Trump did when he came back this time around. And currently he's going after the city of London. He's going after the city of London, the financial hub. How do you take down the financial system? Cause a run on the bank. Turn around and make your money or make the fiat money, really fiat money. Runaway inflation. And it seems to be working out where nobody wants to buy U.S. Treasury bonds. And so in order to keep the government going, the Federal Reserve Bank basically has to buy the bonds that nobody bought. And so we print the artificial money and we buy the artificial money. but your debt's going to go up more, and that's real. What do you mean that's real? You're playing with Monopoly money, but we got to give you real value? If you don't, we'll just take it. What do you mean? Look what they did under Roosevelt when he turned around. Oh, one of the great Democratic presidents that ever be. Yeah, the one that got us into war and took everybody's gold. Think about that. It was like $280 million in gold that the government had turned into it. It was $20 and I think they gave, $20.68 an ounce. And they bought, if you do the math on the ounces, but I believe it was about $280 million. And a year later, Roosevelt changed the strike price on gold to $35 an ounce. Now, the Rothschilds bought all the gold that was confiscated by the American people. They made 40% on their money in a year. And the people of the United States just got hit with the first real debt to their income, because just overnight, gold inflated from $20 an ounce to $35 an ounce, up another 15 cents, $15. They lost almost half of their money when that happened. But that's okay. Maybe that's why we got the Great Depression. You know, that was a kick them while they're down moment. So we could expect something like that to happen again, probably pretty shortly. And I think that's one of the things that Trump is trying to make a soft landing, as opposed to, you know, being in a nosedive, watching the ground come speeding up to you. It's like, okay, we're able to pull out of this one almost, and they pancake the jet anyway. But at least everybody lives. Kind of like that one pilot that, I don't remember, his name was Captain Scully. Yeah, I do remember his name. Captain Scully, who landed a jet in the Hudson River. Everybody lived. Wow. That could have been a catastrophe. That could have been one of those things where everybody died. And so the next few months, it could be very touch and go. We're just entering this time of judgment. Who's next on the judgment block? There's a bunch of people coming. And eventually we may actually hear about some of the psychopaths who've been involved in this, who have been running this country. So it's, I keep hearing rumblings, you know, that it's getting closer, it's getting closer. Well, we see what's going on in Iran. What's really going on behind that situation? You know, I'd like to know what the end game is. The only thing that I can pretty much tell you for sure, don't believe anything about what you're hearing on the news, and probably about half of the podcast, depending on who you're listening to. It's really hard to get accurate news at this point, because it's just different versions of different official versions of what's going on. So, hello, Baskin Robbins. What flavor do you want today? Allegedly, Iran's blockaded and the Straits of Hormuz are going to open. Interesting move, too. The move with Lloyd's of London. Trump just took a whole big piece of Lloyd's of London's business right away from him. Iran was being extorted from so many different angles, and I like to look at it as the chess game between the two Rothschild families, that the Rothschild family let's call it the Balfour Rothschilds, the Balfour Agreement Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds of France, who installed the first Ayatollah Khomeini 47 years ago, I guess it is. while Carter was president. And so, regime change, by whose orders? If there's regime changes, it'll be by Apollyon's orders? So, does this all start to make sense for Scala?
Everything but what my concern is what you said about Iran, because the information that we get, majority of that information is Mossad-based, Israel-based information. And it is, in my opinion, it is biased. Yes, they are guilty of what we would call terrorism. But what is the definition of terrorism? And I don't really want to get into it because we've got a short, we can do this on Saturday. We can get into it on Saturday because just not enough time. But if somebody was to invade your country and you were to stand up against whoever that person was or that other country was at invading your country, country that is invading your country is calling you a terrorist and thereby justifying the murder of you. And so you have resentment. Your brother's been murdered, your mom, your dad, and you want to get even, basically. I mean, that's a human character. I don't know of many people who wouldn't feel that way. And so they take out terrorist attacks on Americans. They killed a lot of Americans in Iraq. But the truth of the matter is, we should have never been in Iraq to begin with. That's really the bottom line.
Well, as far as how many Americans were killed, I don't know, but I know that a lot of Iraqis, pro-American Iraqis, have been killed by the IRGC and other factions. At least that's what the reports are.
That's what the reports are. Peter, remember what the modus operandi of the Mossad is.
Make war by deception.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they'll dress up
as alleged. Yep. And look what they did with when the whole situation in Syria was going on. And how much stuff was filmed in more of a production by the news people as opposed to what was really going on.
That's just my, what you were saying about Iran. This is what we've been told over and over and over again. Again, I'd love to discuss this, and I'm trying to get somebody who actually just came back from Iran. I'm trying to get a contact with them to get on the show and tell me what they have personally seen in Iran.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah, what's really going on there? It's like, I can't tell you exactly what's going on in Ukraine right now, but because of the time I spent in Ukraine and the things that I observed there while, I was there for an extended period of time over the course of, 6 years? 5 years. And so I saw how I learned the political powers that were there. And I was there for the first revolution in 2004.
But would have been wild. Wow. Just wow.
Yeah, it changed my life. It seriously did. It put me on a whole different course. So to be in Iran right now, other than you're going to take your life into your own hands as far as, being an American in Iran, but to talk to somebody who's living there or who just came from there.
You would be surprised. I believe that the majority of the citizens of Iran, as well as probably the administration as well, would not be hostile to American citizens. They would be extremely hostile to anybody in the military, but not to the citizens themselves. They've said on several public announcements, our fight is not with the people, our fight is with the administration.
Go back. Are you saying that the Iranian people are saying our fight is not with flesh and blood? Are they quoting Ephesians 6:11? Who are we fighting? The government agencies, the principalities, the wicked spirits in unseen places. The wicked spirit forces. The ones that egg on wars because they love the killing of people.
Now you're talking about Netanyahu.
And talking about
and that man has to be possessed. No question in my mind. He has to be possessed.
It's not just the people. Cliff, I don't know if you know who Cliff High is, and I'll just get through this really quickly. Yeah. But I was listening to an interview that he was doing. And he was talking about that, you know, he was an army brat, and his dad was involved in the night vision technology and rolling it out. And the night vision was first in red light. Night vision now is green light. Why? They were in Huey helicopters going out on night patrol, and the gunners were given red light glasses, red light night vision glasses, and all of a sudden the gunner in their helicopter opened fire. They're flying in formation, and he opens fire. And they're like, what the heck are you doing? What are you shooting at? He said, they're out there. They're out there. And what he described were demonic-looking forces or entities that were flying next to him. And one of them looked right at him and pointed to him. And he said, and that's when he opened up fire, sir.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That red spectrum put them in, that made them visible. They were going out to kill.
Now, I have
Let's see what seen, we can find with this new technology and kill them at night.
I have seen short videos where people use that technology, infrared technology, at night, and you can see, according to the video, and that could be made up. You know, I can't tell what's real anymore, but according to videos, you can see the UFOs up there. You can see the flying saucers.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Just think what you could see if it was red light. You know, because
I thought this was, the video was had red light.
Was it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because they are cloaked in that frequency. We can't see there. It's outside of the visible light range. You know, sometimes
also another dimension, Peter. Because just because we can't see them, okay, say that it's just we can't see them, but we would be able to touch them, wouldn't we? Or no, because they're in another dimension.
Well, the best that I can, they're like in between dimensions. They cannot materialize and take physical bodies.
Hmm.
So I guess there's, you know, electrons make things hard. It's what gives things their touch and feel.
Yeah.
So whether they don't have electrons, but that doesn't seem exactly right either. I can't say that's a blanket statement because I've heard firsthand experiences where people were literally battling these things.
Tucker said you heard about Tucker. He said he was physically attacked by a demon in his sleep one night.
Yeah, I believe that. I was talking to a woman. Years ago. Boy, you want to talk about somebody to bring on the show and do an interesting interview with. She is the great, great grandniece to Tsar Nicholas of Russia. And I actually researched as much as the stuff that she told me. But anyway, one of the things that she told me, in order to gain wealth, and her father was fairly wealthy, but in order to gain a lot of wealth, they were told that they had to practice witchcraft or black magic on their daughter.
Wow.
And she was actually kind of held in captivity, so to speak. And she told me where she was living. I know the area that she lived in, or that she was living in. I even went and, what address? I know that. Hey, what address? She gave me the address. I got on Google and looked at it. Yep, the building's right there. But she had said that she was Jewish. Important. She was Jewish. She had two shadow figures attack her one day, and they were wrestling her down to her couch, and they just appeared like dark shadow figures, and she was fighting them with all she had, and she finally said, "Jesus Christ, leave me alone," and they vanished. They vanished. She said the next day she started a Bible study with people. She went to a Christian a Christian congregation in her neighborhood and started a Bible study. I was like, did you just get converted when you used the power of Jesus Christ? Yeah. There's power in that name, in Yeshua, the Messiah, and his father, Jehovah, Yahuwah. There's power in those names. And the scriptures say that the demons hear those names and they shudder. They become afraid. You want to know how to control those bastards? Or drive them away? The idea is not to control them. Who wants them? You know, they're like a flea infestation. Or they could be. Was it, "My name is Legion, for we are many"? All possessed in one all captured in one person. So exactly what we're dealing with, that they're intelligent life forms that cannot fully materialize, at least not yet. And I think that's one of the reasons that we have, cloning. That's one of the reasons that they were interested in the body of Gilgamesh, Nimrod. They wanted his DNA. Hello, how many giants does the Smithsonian have in their warehouses? Is that DNA still viable? They found the DNA on the Shroud of Turin. But it doesn't sound like that DNA was viable. So, you know, we live in strange times. Jesus said difficult times, hard to deal with. It's difficult to know what the truth is and what it's not. But when we see significant things start to show up, we have to take notice of what's going on. So we have one more picture there. I believe it was Melania's dress. Yeah, there we go. And now, do you want to know the real Trump? That's probably the real Trump there. You look at his complexion. He looks like he's got a smile on his face. Well, of course, he's standing next to Melania. You know, any man with a smile standing next to her, I'm sure. But look at the height. Melania is in heels is probably, I think she's 5'11", and in heels she's going to be over 6 foot. And Trump is 6'3". I would say you're looking at the real Trump, as opposed to the picture that you had posted before. So, you know, there's two different Trumps there. Yeah, look at that Trump. And unfortunately, that Trump's a little bit further away. But this is when the king and queen of Denmark, I believe it was Denmark, came, or was it Sweden? One of the Norwegian countries came a couple of days ago and visited Trump at the White House. So, but that dress, they say Melania's dresses are semaphore, that they're communications using flags. You know, they used to have different symboled flags they would string up on a ship, and that would send a message. This this dress that Melania has on Erdem is the designer, actually, of that painting. And this is part of Melania's final act wardrobe. She's making a fashion statement here. And it's part of her final act of styling. Her final act is what they're actually calling it. So watch the dresses that you see Melania in, and it's part of the final act. I don't know what that artwork is on the dress, but I'm looking at it. It's a white dress and a dark whatever it is. Are we talking about dark to light? A cue post? Are we entering that time? Let's see. We've got less than a month's time to, or no, actually a little bit more than a month's time to the 17th of May, which is going to be the National Prayer Day and the rededication of the United States of America to God.
Which one?
They carry out God's will. So,
which
Ruscullo, because we've entered this judgment period, it can only be one. It has to be Father Yahweh, Yahuwah. We did have one more picture, actually. This one was controversial. Thank you. A lot of people looked at this and said, Trump is Jesus here. Trump is Jesus. I looked at this and I was like, no. He's obviously healing a sick person. And if I looked at this as he was the light in his left hand, or that bright is Jesus' glory power source that was given to the apostles, because they could heal people too. And the apostles could actually pass that gift on, and it only went one more generation and then it ended, so that there were no more bringing people back from the sick. But I looked at this as more Trump is bringing a symbolic healing. He's bringing a symbolic healing to an older man. There's a nurse by his side. Looks like there could be some friends there. We got the military involved. It's America, symbolic healing for America. But it's interesting, above Trump, there's entities there. Go and look at the original artwork. I don't know if this is totally coming across on YouTube or Rumble, but look at the original artwork. One of those seems to be a demonic force. Are world leaders possessed? I'll let you decide for yourself. But are we in the last days and has judgment started? It would certainly seem that way. So, Ruscullo, I think it comes down to not which God, questioning what the motives are of these people, but which God are we going to follow? Because this is personal.
Yahuwah.
Yeah. Yeah. By doing that, we actually connect back to our birthright. And we're able to connect to the most powerful entity in existence, the source of everything. Everything that has been and everything that will be. And we are at this time of judgment, but not just judgment. It's also a time where spiritual healing is going to begin, because we will see the judgment against the church. By the way, Pope Leo got to visit with Obama's advisors, and Obama wants to go see Pope Leo. Wonder why? They're both from Chicago. Interesting. So beware, beware. Pay attention. I guess, you know, keep your hearts pure and your motives simple. And most of all, I'm going to say we're just about out of time. Thank you for joining us tonight. Riscolo, thank you for producing and joining in. And with that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic night and a fantastic week. See you next week, everybody, right here on Revelation. Good night.